Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
A seeker, an angel child, the mother and living soul. The ten are drawn together to keep their world whole. A family saved from horseman's wrath, the harbinger slain, and with final breath, his death knell on hallowed earth fell, and at its sound, a shadow was unchained.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthstraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adirio. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt, or on Tumblr and Instagram at ChristinaWoodsArt.
Hey, I'm Joe. I play on Bainbridge. You can find me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield. I also do a podcast with Travis called WTF Anime.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Lori, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkyWit, WILKYWIT.
Hello. My name is Raphael Johns. I play Hallam Cardoso on the Lost Library podcast, and you can find me at EldritchRoth on Twitter.com.
So, y'all are in a clearing a little ways away from the werewolf log cabin where the big family council meeting was happening. As y'all will remember, November Russell, the current leader of the council, had pulled the four of you, Grizz Lord, Jessica Howlett and her brother Jeremy Howlett away from everybody. She had sent everyone else to get barbecue. As it turns out, Jeremy Lord had been accusing his sister and Grizz of having a relationship together without any sort of clearance from the family. And after a moving story from Lori about getting along and how to get along with people that you probably don't want to get along with, y'all's little meeting was interrupted by Finn and Penny Moorhound and three transformed werewolves. And November just looks at Finn with just murder in his eyes and just goes, "Moorhound, the hell are you doing? I sent y'all to get barbecue." And Finn just snarls and points a finger, and this like yellow like arc of electricity just leaps out and hits November, and her limbs just lock up and she just like twitches for a second and falls over.
Can I run over and see if she's okay?
All right, Ashley, you're gonna run up and check her?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine we're all pretty close together, so not like running as much as like checking vitals, like checking, like, eye motion. Like, is she conscious? Is she having, like, a seizure? Ashley has some basic CPR.
She's fine. Like, physically, she's not injured. She's just, you recognize this as something that your Aunt Carrie's told you about. It's kind of a paralysis magic.
Okay.
Oh, buddy. You really, like, you just had to give me one more reason to kick your ass.
Oh, what are you gonna do, little scrawny boy?
Well, when they say both start talking, like, the instant that Moorhound pops up, despite him, like, shooting November, Hallam is, like, laughing, because he's like, "Oh my god, Moorhound. Your shitty ass name. I'm sorry, sweetie."
The girl just glares at him and goes, "Shut up, Hallam."
Moorhound is still too funny.
Can I smack Hallam in the leg from where I'm kneeling on the ground?
Yeah, sure.
Just
you
like
absolutely can.
Just like tap him because.
Don't antagonize the enemy.
But yeah, just enough to knock Hallam out of his laughing. At this guy who just used Thunderwave on our werewolf mom.
He sort of like sniffs. Oh, sorry. My bad. What's this? Is this a coup or something?
No. We ain't bothered much with this, chain of command they got here. Nah, and he just, like, walks over to Penny and, like, puts an arm around her. It's like, we just want to see these dumb dogs rip each other apart a little bit.
Oh, that seems weird.
Oh, does it, Cardoza?
Yeah, sounds like kind of weird phrasing.
Yeah, Laurie, I would like a secondary opinion. Does that sound weird?
Of course it does. We did not come here to tear anybody apart. We came here to talk and to get to know each other as family members, both blood and metaphorical, and eat the barbecue later. That's what we're here for.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Laurie. We're gonna have to put barbecue plans on hold.
I don't like the way you say my name. Please call me ma'am.
He just smiles at you and goes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's worse.
And the girl just laughs.
So it's those two, the two with the collars, and then three other werewolves also collared. Those are fully, like,
awake. Yes, there are the two non-transformed werewolves with collars, and there are the three fully transformed werewolves with collars.
Can we tell sort of, like, this is gonna sound weird, but, like, a perception, basically, to, like, figure out, like, because is there still noise going on? I imagine a barbecue with that many people is still loud as hell. Like,
oh yeah, y'all can still hear the barbecue happening as normal.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like they attacked everybody else and managed to kill them or something.
Good.
Nope.
Okay, thank God.
Man, I would like to read a bad situation, please. I'd like, since Ashley is not, I'm new to hunting, but my favorite subject is also psychology. So I want to get a read on Finn and see if I can figure out, like, what's the best way to appeal to his ego and get him to de-escalate.
All right.
That is a 6, unless I can count this as using my +1 forward from when I was reading situations about the family members and their relations.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so cool. That's a 7 then.
Very good. So you get to ask a question from the list.
Okay, in that case, then I will phrase this as, what's my best way in, as in getting him to pay attention and getting him on our side.
Okay, so you're wanting to try to, like, figure out how to best de-escalate Finn from all this? And
yes.
Based on kind of, like, what you observed, this is, no part of this seems really congruous with what you have observed about other werewolves. Like, something seems very clearly off about this little mini pack here. And it's not just like, oh, these are like the black sheep of the family. There's something like distinctly different about these guys, but it's kind of in a way that it's the boiling frog problem where, you know, you put a frog in hot water, it'll jump out. You put a frog in cold water and slowly turn up the heat, it'll just stay there and boil to death, which is not true, but is a great example from Dante's Peak. It's that whole situation where, like, the local werewolves probably haven't noticed anything weird going on with these guys. Like, they just got more emo and more edgy and just bucking the system more. But from the outside looking in, like, it's very clearly, like, there is something not right about these people. And you don't know what you're dealing with here. You kind of get this weird, like, nagging in the back of your head that's like, I don't know that I'm dealing with werewolves right now. Despite all evidence of actual, factual werewolves in front of you to the contrary. Like, they don't seem right.
Okay, as in, specifically, Finn and Penny don't seem right, or all of them don't seem right. If I can ask for that clarification with my 7.
It's not all the werewolves. It's that little pack that was around Fen.
Okay.
Remember, there's like a group of them all off on their own.
Yeah, I was specifically referring to the three transformed werewolves in front of us.
And they are not. Well, I mean, right now they're wolves, so it's a little hard to tell. They're not talking or moving, but they're wearing the same collars, so you can pretty safely assume that they're like part of that group of people that were around Fen, and none of them really seemed right.
Okay. And there's no way that I can really tell this to the others. So, okay. You know what? I'm gonna draw some fire. Mr. Moorhound, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you don't have any particular stake in this fight. But what is...
Oh, what gave you that idea, little lady?
Well, you don't have any particular stake in the relationship here.
Oh. Well, that's true. It's just a easy bit of stupid we can exploit.
And the girl laughs again.
So, is it... I'm just trying to get the best handle on it here so that maybe everything doesn't go completely terribly. But what is... I am not necessarily the most... I'm new to werewolves. So, can you help me understand what is going on here? And I want to give my best innocent person face as I say that.
What's going on here? Is it not obvious to you? We're gonna stir up some trouble from these stupid hidebound old dogs and make them tear each other apart and run all the way from old Port Avalon, leaving little old us here to roam these woods all on our lonesome.
Okay, so it's power then? Or territory? Or just, have they not been treating you well? Do we need to have a talk with Miss Russell, I guess, whenever she wakes up? What's her reaction to
all this? I need you to roll weird for me, Ashley.
Oh, damn. Oh, shit, never mind. I rolled a 10, but my weird is minus 1, so I still got a 9.
Okay, that's gonna be good.
Love you, Dice.
So, you're kind of talking to him, you're trying to sort this out, and you feel something from where your weapon is slung over your back. It's almost like a vibration or a warmth there, and you kind of feel like a little pulse run through your body a little bit, and suddenly, like, you see Fen just kind of recoil from you a little bit. But it's weird because you also see him not move. It's almost like this image of him split in half a little bit, so that there's Fen who's talking to you, and then there's this other shape kind of behind him and to the side, and it's got these long, spindly fingers just shoved into his head.
Fuck.
And the shape kind of looks at you, and I'm going to need you to roll stability for me.
Okay, I got a grand total of 9.
Okay, cool. Mark one box of stability. So yes. you're like, it's very disturbing, but you're okay. And this thing just looks at you and goes, damn. What is this? Not even the little mageling saw me.
Oh my god.
Who are you? And it, like, surges forward towards you a little bit. Like, it pulls one of its claws out of Finn's head. And it, like, lunges at you. And that pulse that had gone out from you, that, like, little tingly pulse, it hits that. And it kind of rebounds. And you see these, like, weird, like, splintery yellow veins just, like, flare across its arm. Where it hit like a shield, and it pulls back and just goes, "How? That's impossible." And it vanishes. And Finn drops to the ground mid-sneer. And Penny screams. As do all three wolves.
I'm just sitting there with just this, like, open mouth. Like, what just happened?
Owen, was that something that you did, or?
I just look at Hallam and just like, no idea, but I'm gonna play with it. So I look at the non-dropped werewolves, or might not be werewolves, and I'm like, so your boss man just fell over after talking to a teenager, and he's like the head of you guys, and he's the one like you're pinning all of this on to be like, oh, let's send all of them away, Azure will be the best. That's who you're pinning this on.
And Penny kind of looks up at you and just goes, what did you do?
Oh boy, well, they cut top quite a few tricks when you steal a bunch of books from knights.
Okay. I need you to roll to manipulate someone.
Cool.
Oh, buddy.
You know,
what's your charm?
You know, I really want this to work because I like Owen needs this reputation. I'm going to spend a luck.
Use that luck.
Yep.
Use that luck.
Oh my God.
Spending a luck, that puts me up to a 13.
All right. So she's pretty much just going to believe whatever explanation you give here.
Let me turn you on to a little bit of a secret. It's very, very well hidden. I told your man that he gave me another reason to kick his ass. He pissed me off. Someone, and I'll like point down at the ground, down there, is definitely looking out for people who piss me off. Got it? Great.
And she just kind of gets up and just looks at you, and just looks down at the ground, looks at Finn, looks back at you, and just like, no. You're not in league with those. Are you?
There's going to be a chill wind.
Owen cast the cantrip Thaumaturgy.
Oh, poor Poppy.
Hey, Owen, may I suggest something a little out of character here?
Sure.
You are personally acquainted with a demon.
Do I have his number?
You are a magic person, my dude.
Fuck.
Do it.
Isn't one of the towers literally summon a monster?
Yep.
Oh my god! Surprise! Surprise, Penny! Your worst enemy is here, and it's wearing a zoot suit.
Oh god.
Oh, please do this, Joe.
Okay, right.
I'm not even going to be even a little mad if you just burn a luck just to ensure that this happens.
Please don't burn a luck.
So there's so this chill wind kind of spreads through this small part of the clearing, and I'm going to kind of step closer to Penny. Close enough to like put my hand on her shoulder. Oh, darling. They're always looking out for me. Let's roll some good, good magic.
Come on.
Look, if I roll bad again, fingers, burning toes, a luck, do not give a shit. Thank you, Matt.
Oh my god.
Dab, dab, yes. That's a 10. Yes.
Dab.
So, am I correct in assuming that you are summoning Brian?
I am summoning Brian.
Yes!
So, out of this cold wind, and with the finest dramatic style of an 80s hair metal band, there is like this low bass guitar riff that comes from nowhere. And out of the shadow of a tree steps a man in way too tight blue jeans.
Yes.
In a tight black t-shirt.
Yes.
And a rhinestone bedazzled jean jacket.
Yes!
I hate him.
With way too long bleached blonde hair held up with a headband. And wearing shitty aviators.
Your son bought them at the gas station! Your son!
Steps Brian the demon, who just flourishes out into this clearing and just goes, "What is up, my chicky dickies?"
Oh my god. Oh.
Who called for me?
Oh my god. I'm sorry, I probably clipped my audio, but my god.
So.
And he is like wildly flailing his limbs with every line he utters.
Oh my so god, Matt, gonna fucking kill him.
Can I ask that? Hold on, I need to check like the 10 plus thing. But if the cold wind was kind of part of this, could he have been like aware of what's going on just for like a few seconds up to that?
Oh, absolutely. So he just steps. So we're going to rewind a little bit. Right after he said the chicky dicky thing.
What song plays just, him in?
And he is just flailing his limbs and he just goes, "So, something nasty is messing with my boy Owen." And he just like runs his fingers through his hair and just goes, "I don't like that. And I ain't a nice demon." And he just like pulls his fingers back and does like a wrestling point where there's one hand over his head, one hand under his head. And he's pointing right at Penny and he just goes, "You are fucking with my boy." And he just holds that pose.
Yeah, not quite like the Bible. But, I hope you understand how deep shit you are in.
So deep. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM, cutting in here. I hope you're enjoying this third part of Balconies in the Moonlight. The players took things in a direction I did not anticipate at all, and it made this just an amazingly fun story to tell. So I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you stick around for the back half. It gets pretty crazy, and I love every second of it. Anytime I can bring in Brian the Demon, I'm just delighted. We want to again, once always, because we're a podcast, plug where you can find us and where you can leave ratings and reviews for us. They really do help, especially with a smaller podcast like ours where we just aren't able to really advertise anywhere. So you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public. We're on Podknife where you can just leave reviews for us. You can leave reviews on iTunes, and we are going to be kind of collating a bunch of these and doing a big review special episode down the line when we have a bunch. So send those in, help us out, help other people know where they can find us, people you think might enjoy this. Let them know too. We'd love to have just more listeners, more people who might enjoy what we're doing over here. We want to thank Renee Rhodes for recording our introduction. And you can catch her with her podcast, Fate and the Fable Maidens, which you should definitely be listening to. Our music here for the Grayscale campaign is Agra by Damiano Baldoni off of the album Lost Dynasty and can be found at the Free Music Archive. For our High Tide recommendation here at the end of June, I want to point you to something that's been going on all month. It's called Women Tabletop Gaming Month. We weren't able to do anything over here on our end with Lost Library just because of how new we were. We weren't really plugged into the community yet, and to be perfectly honest, I wasn't even aware of it as a thing. So, one, just in general, we're going to be better about that this moving forward. And specifically, I want to try to do something celebrating that next year. So, stay tuned, I guess, in 12 months for more of that from us. But for this week, for our High Tide recommendation, I want you to go find something celebrating women in tabletop gaming. There are a bunch of shows that did specials on it. Renee, who does our intros, she was part of that in a big way with several different podcasts and productions. Our cast member Nora was a part of that with the show I Am Here, which you should definitely go listen to. So go find someone celebrating Women in Tabletop Gaming Month and give that a listen and give that a share. So that's our High Tide recommendation for this week. Our next episode is going to air on July 11th, our next Grayscale episode. It's the start of our new story, our fourth story, and it's called Matriculation Mayhem. I hope you'll come back and join us for that, because it is, amongst other things, our first all-teen episode. See y'all in 2 weeks. Hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And we do a show called Forging Worlds here on the Fifth Draw family of podcasts.
Every week we sit down and for 45 minutes talk about a world that we create from nothing.
Yeah, you get to listen in on every stage of the world building process as Alan and I figure out how exactly we want to interpret a genre and a modifier to a genre.
Matt makes maps because he has a good disease.
Yeah, it's great. And we also have just a good time with some other little small things and some plot hooks for you.
If that sounds interesting to you, please check us out. We're on Twitter at @forging_worlds.
And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or on fifthdraw.com.
Come and forge a world with us.
See y'all there.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the Cool Kids Table, a RPG podcast about shitty teens.
And magical girls.
And really bad D&D heroes.
And just any other stuff we can get our hands on.
And our D&D heroes aren't that bad.
We didn't actually plan what to say for this, so I hope you're into people flying by the seat of their pants and just incapable of playing game systems correctly.
And bad puns.
Wonderful puns.
So you can get all this and more every other Sunday over at the Cool Kids Table.
And you can sit with us.
And she just is like wide-eyed, mouth is basically on the ground. And she's just like, they never said nothing about demons. We're just supposed to come and make trouble. We ain't doing this shit.
Who are they?
She just looks at you and goes, none of your damn business, girl. And she just like reaches down and grabs Finn by the collar, and she just starts walking backwards.
I've got my hand on her shoulder.
Why don't you just stay really quick? Let's have a conversation about this. Specifically, whoever the fuck they are, since that's actually our business now.
And right when you say that, a cell phone rings. And Killer Queen fills the plane. And Brian, like, breaks the pose and goes, one second, and pushes a massive Bluetooth thing on his ear.
Oh, my God.
And just goes, you got the prime man. And he just stops. Uh-huh. Oh. Uh-huh. No, I don't get it. Yeah, one second. Hold on. And he takes the Bluetooth off, then he tosses it to Owen.
Owen catches it and puts it on.
Brian immediately resumes his two-finger point pose. Oh, yes. And he is trying to smolder.
Oh, my God.
So, Owen, you put the Bluetooth on, and you hear Milo's voice going, God, I don't understand why I got saddled with him. It's just...
Look, I can tell you right now, he's fucking Owen. Great. Oh, sorry, I was just saying, like, he's fucking great, but I can't imagine, like, living with this guy.
Decades. It's decades.
Shit, man. Right,
We all serve in our way. I need you...
I probably broke some major rules, and you're about to reprimand me for that.
No, you're doing fine. I do need you to tell Brian to take off the fucking sunglasses. Could you do that for me, please?
God, how much do I want to brag Brian right now? he just kind of turns and, like, looks over at Brian and goes, you know, old ball and chain wants you to take off the sunglasses.
And he just, like, throws his hands in the air and goes, but I just got fine. And he, like, pulls them off very slowly and carefully, folds them, puts them into an inner pocket of the denim jacket, and just, like, he has his eyes closed this whole time. He just goes, ah, and he, like, does, like, a yoga thing where he, like, does a push out from his face, and then he opens his eyes and just goes, oh, fuck. I need all of y'all to not touch them real fast.
Put my hat away.
Sir, hey, does not them include Miss Russell?
He just looks at you and says, who's Miss Russell?
This lady here who's been paralyzed.
He looks down and goes, no, she's fine. Just those weirdos with the very bad collars. Mr. Brainbridge, sir. And he just kind of
really?
Like nods his head. Like he has his hands like together under his chin, just kind of like kind of grossed out. And he's just like, he's nodding his head towards him, just like, come over here, come over here, come over here, come over here.
Milo, did you tell Brian that we weren't supposed to learn about that or them yet?
What them, Owen?
Look, okay. Fine. I'm going to play this game. And he starts walking over to Brian.
And in your ear, Milo, you hear Milo just kind of like, Oh. Yes, I would appreciate you playing along with Brian's game. Just give him the earpiece back when you get over to him. Thank you.
I do.
All right, so you get over to Brian. You hand him back the earpiece. Brian's just like... Brian doesn't take it. He just, like, turns his ear towards you.
Is he still...
Like, his hands are still in fists under his chin. He's just like... Ugh.
Okay, let's pop it in.
And he just, like, stops and listens for a minute and goes, oh, okay. And then he just looks at you and just goes, you know how you made me show up?
Yeah, kind of aware of that.
I need you to do that, but backwards, not to those people, but to, like, just behind those people.
Can you let me see it?
No. Maybe?
I take the earpiece out of his ear and goes, Brian, you can show me. I give you permission.
He just narrows his eye. He just like squints at you and just goes, all right. And he just like slaps a hand onto your forehead and turns your head.
Yes.
And I need you to roll stability.
Hell yeah!
No, Joe, you need your eyes!
I hope this goes so bad.
Turn out so well the last time!
Okay, I got a 7.
Alright. What's your plus to stability stat?
It's plus nothing because of the deal. So it's just 7.
Right. Glorious. Well, you're still okay. You take one, go ahead and mark one stability off. Mm-hmm. And what you see is similar to what Ashley saw, except Ashley only kind of got to see one thing that was revealed to her. You kind of see everything. And what you see is 5 kind of hulking shadowy shapes that all have these like long spindly fingers shoved into the heads of these werewolves. Like the 3 transformed ones plus Penny. Finn has like a hand still in him, but the thing that's there is kind of like reeling a little bit. And there's this like splintered yellow shape all over its arm that looks almost like some sort of shell is broken.
Huh.
But you see a little bit more than Ashley did, even beyond just more than one of them. You see that these are not actually 5 individual shapes. Yes. These are fingers. Yes. Of something massive arcing up into the sky. And kind of, like, you see a shape reaching out of the ground. You're sure it can't actually be, but it looks like it's coming from the lake. But that can't be right. That's miles away. This can't be that long, but it sure looks that way.
I'm pretty sure it can be that long.
And then you kind of feel this thing where it's like, all of a sudden, something notices that you notice. And off in the darkness, in the direction the arm is arcing, a single eye opens up and looks at you. And all 5 fingers just rip out of the ground and vanish. And you are blown back against a tree. And I need you to mark 2 damage.
Okay, yeah. I was going to be like, oh yeah, I have armor and shit, but no, fuck it, I'm just taking 2 because...
Fucking wow.
Oh boy!
Is he still conscious?
I'm doing fine. I'm great.
Okay, he's still conscious.
I'm just like that's slumped good. On a tree, still just kind of looking up.
Yeah, when you got knocked back, Brian's hand was ripped away from your head, so you don't see it anymore.
Brian?
What's up, buddy?
I think I did it. No, it's gone. It's not in their heads now.
He looks around, just goes, ah, would you look at that. Little mageling pulled it off. And he walks over to you and just like squats down and just like pats you on the cheek and then vanishes.
Near immediately replaced with Hallam, who is like actually concerned.
Aww.
And Ashley, at your feet, November, like all of her limbs just relax right at that same time. And she just kind of like blinks and shakes her head a little bit.
Are you all right, ma'am? Were you conscious of... Are you okay? First off, are you okay? Can you move? Can you breathe?
Oh, that was weird. I did not know old Moorhound had a whammy in him like that.
I look over at Owen, who has collapsed against a tree, and I don't think that was just him, ma'am. I think there was something a lot bigger than that.
What you mean a lot bigger? That little bastard's big enough on his own, even he's a greasy little twig.
I don't know how to describe it, but I don't think you'll have to worry about the Moorhound pack. The Moorhound family is that, I don't know what the correct term is for it, but they're collapsed on the ground right now, and we probably should check them and see if they are okay.
November just nods and says, "Hey, Laurie, would you mind checking on them? Grizz, Jessica, go lend them a hand real fast, and maybe check on your idiot brother, Jessica, too." And when they move away, November just like puts her hand on your cheek, Ashley, and turns your face to her and just goes, "Girl."
"Yes, ma'am."
"Whatever happened, y'all beat them fair and square. Don't say nothing about anything big." And she just, not like kindly, but just like kind of sternly pats your cheek twice. And then kind of just like lays her head back down.
Okay. I nod. I don't say yes, but I nod.
All right, Lori, are you following the instructions?
I think I walked over to the barbecue side of the party, and I took a couple of cans of soda out of a cooler, and I'm doing my best for these werewolves. I can tell they did not do that of their own volition. They are innocents, and I'm just rubbing, like, a cold can of Sprite over their heads to try and get them to, like, wake up and refresh and feel better.
Okay. So a couple things are going to happen here. The three that had been transformed into wolves are back in their human forms, and they're just kind of unconscious a little bit. They're kind of just like moaning like they have a real bad hangover or something. Penny just has this just vacant look in her face. Just like there is not much happening between her, behind her eyes anymore right now. And Finn is just slowly coming to as you like rub that Sprite on his head. Grizz and Jessica are leaned over Jeremy, who is, like, throwing up over in a bush.
Is November, like, okay? Is she just, like, hanging out on the ground now?
Yeah, she's just, like, breathing, but eventually she's gonna sit up and start taking command of the situation, because there's still some, fallout. The problem, as far as anyone knows, has not gone away.
Okay. And I'm assuming that obviously Owen is being taken care of. With care.
Yeah, I'm sort of busily trying to make sure that Owen's absolutely as comfortable and also not injured as possible.
Okay, cool. In that case, then, can I talk to Jeremy once he's done throwing up?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can walk over there, and like Jessica and Grizz are both. Grizz is like moving kind of in between Jessica and the three downed werewolves, the three unconscious ones, just kind of making sure they're in like the recovery position. And but after he tends to one, he moves back over to Jessica for a second, but he's kind of in that like, I'm probably not welcome amongst this family at the moment. So, Jeremy is kind of like dry heaving a little bit, and he's like settling back down, and he is still just kind of shaking.
Okay. I'm making the executive decision that Ashley has a tiny, one of those little like baby bottles of water.
Fair. Yeah.
Or whatever. And I'll give Jeremy the bottle of water and say, look, I know that obviously you guys have a lot of rules, but I don't know how your guys' family works, because obviously I'm not part of your family, but I know that in my family, when something big happens, the only things that can happen are that everyone comes together to help fix it and to stand against whatever it was that was happening or causing it, or everything breaks. And I don't think that anyone wants that to happen to your guys' family and to all the werewolves that we saw here tonight. And I know that obviously that Grizz and Jessica being together is something that's important to you guys, but I mean, I don't know what happened here today, but I think this is bigger than just a couple of teens, I guess, young adults. I feel weird calling us all teens because, I mean, we are teens, but like, whatever. But something is going on here this doesn't really matter in the big scheme is what I'm trying to get at. And obviously, like, I know that you guys do have your rules, and I respect your rules, but I think there should be some exceptions made sometimes, and I think this is one of them.
November is just kind of, she goes, that was well said. What you got to say, Jeremy? And he's just kind of, he's been swigging from the bottle this whole time, and he looks up at you, looks at Jessica, looks at November, just goes, I was gonna, Jessica asked me to come talk to you, November, and to talk to our parents and make sure they did it right, but I went to talk to Penny first because I was kind of jealous of them, and then everything went weird. Like, she made some sort of, like, her eyes went all yellow, and I didn't want to do it right anymore. And I think she went and talked to Jessica and made her forget that Jessica had talked to me. And they didn't want to do it wrong. They wanted to do it right. And I didn't let them because she didn't let me. Penny didn't let me. And November walks over, just kind of pats Ashley on the shoulder as she walks by, and she just kind of takes Jeremy's hand, like chin in her hand, and looks at him, just goes, all right, boy. Go get your dad, go get Grizz's mom, and we'll talk about all this. Grizz, Jess, I want y'all to go and get some of your cousins and get these moorhound bastards put away somewhere in a shed. We'll deal with them when they come to. And she kind of smacks Jeremy's shoulder, and they all kind of race off to go to their task. And she looks back at the four of y'all and she goes, well, guess I got more than I bargained for getting you guys on board.
I shrug helplessly.
I want to thank you for inviting us into your beautiful, handsome log cabin home. You've provided us with barbecues and sprites. And I think we've all really learned something tonight, and nobody died. So I think tonight's a victory.
She nods. Helen?
We didn't really do much, so I don't... I mean, thanks, but other than Owen here getting turned into a, you know, pile of mush briefly, I think we're fine.
November shakes her head and walks over to you and just, like, pats you on the back and goes, oh, you folk did a lot for us, Cordoza, and I'm not likely to forget it. Tell your great-grandmother that I'm going to be coming to see you someday. She and I need to talk, but you done did good here tonight. whether you think you did or not.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Also, feel free to, like, not tell her that I had, like, too much trouble. Like, you know, just don't mention me, maybe. You know, too much.
November just, like, arcs an eyebrow at you and just goes, yeah, I get how that is. Your grandmother's a handful. She and I, ooh, we had some fun back in our day, though. And she smacks you on the back and wanders off to the, come on, let's get some barbecue while the kids clean up this mess. The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.